right, guys, we're in lesson 34 today, and we're going to focus again on the tribulation. So if you remember last week, we looked at the whole concept of the tribulation, which is also known as Daniel's 70th week. And the 70 weeks, that has to do with what group of people? Anybody remember? Jews, Israel, yes. And so the 70th week is the final week of the things that are supposed to take place with the nation Israel. And it is a seven-year period. We also know of it as the tribulation, because Revelation also reflects on the same period of time with regards to that. Now, how does this final 70th week, or this final 7 years, how does it begin? What happens that causes this to begin? Anybody know? Okay, well, the rapture is going to take place before it, but what event is at the beginning of the tribulation? We talked about it last week. Comes out of Daniel chapter 9. Okay, no, that's good, Michelle. That would be before. That's the events before it happens. What happens, remember, if you need to go to Daniel chapter 9, verse 27. A peace treaty. With who? With Israel, right? And with many, which we understand that because we look at what's going on in the Middle East. It would have to be many, right? And there would be this covenant made with this ruler. So in our minds, we're thinking, okay, that's when it starts. But what we're going to talk about today is we're going to take a step back. We're going to get a bigger picture today. Because I don't want you to think that it's the Antichrist who starts the tribulation. It's not the Antichrist who starts the tribulation or that period of judgment. Actually, well, let's take a look at our study today. We'll figure it out as we go. So the first thing I want you to know is we're going to talk about the one who knows. So if anybody tells you they know when it's going to happen, they don't know anything. Nobody knows. Nobody knows anything at all about when it starts. Well, isn't it according to Daniel chapter 9 when this? No, listen to me. You don't know. And we're going to figure that out. How do we know that? Well, let's take a look. Matthew chapter 24. Again, this is Matthew 24 is where Jesus discusses the end. Look at verse 36. But concerning that day and hour, no one knows. Now, this is Jesus saying it. Not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son. So he's saying, not even myself, but the Father only. Now, who's the Father? God the Father, right? So the scripture records that the Lord God is the only one who knows when this period of judgment begins. He's the only one. And so what we want to do with the rest of our time is we want to talk about where it really starts. And for you to understand, let me back up. Let me ask you a question. Why is it important for us to understand who starts this period of judgment? Why is that important? Okay, that's good, Tim, so that we know that who is ultimately in control. So if you have it in your mind, well, it starts with the Antichrist. Is the Antichrist really the one in control? No, not at all. So Revelation, it's interesting because when he's done talking about the church in chapters 2 and 3, he immediately has a vision where he's taken up into heaven. Chapter 4, he's taken into the throne, very throne room of God, and he describes what he sees there. Then he gets into chapter 5, and he's introduced to the one on the throne who is God the Father, and he has something in his hand. And that's what we're going to look at today. And the question that is raised, and then it's going to ultimately tell you who's in control. So let's take a look at this. All right, so let's start with reading the passage. So I want you to notice with me chapter 5. Then I saw in the right hand of him who was seated on the throne a scroll written within and on the back, sealed with seven seals. I saw a mighty angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and break the seals?" No one in heaven and on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or look into it. And I began to weep loudly because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or to look into it. One of the elders said to me, "Weep no more. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered, so he can open the scroll and its seven seals." And between the throne and the four living creatures and among the elders, I saw a lamb standing as though it had been slain, with seven horns and with seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent into all the earth. And he went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who was seated on the throne. And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, "Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people from God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on earth." Then I looked and heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders, the voice of many angels numbering myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under earth and in the sea and all that is in them saying, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever." And the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshiped. Now, that's kind of a wild scene, isn't it? What does that got to do with the tribulation? Everything. So let's talk about it. So first of all, God the Father possesses the scroll. Now let me explain to you what the scroll is. It is probably sections of papyrus that were put together. They didn't have books like we have. Let me pull up a book here. You know, we have books that are bound that we can turn pages in. In the ancient days, they didn't have that. They had scrolls. Sometimes they were made of lamb skins or sheep skins. Sometimes they were made of papyrus, which is kind of like a reed that is beat down and treated and so forth. And there was writing on this on the inside and outside of it, and it's sealed with seven seals. Now, what we want you to understand is, and we'll see this later, this scroll contains the record of the judgments that are to take place on the earth. God's judgments that are to take place on the earth. So God is sitting on the throne, and he possesses this scroll, all right? So remember what Jesus said, nobody knows the time or the hour except who? God the Father. So he's the one who possesses the scroll, all right? He's the one who's going to be pronouncing judgment and having the judgment executed. Now, next thing I want you to see is, all right, so the scroll contains the record of the events that will take place in the future. We've already seen that. A strong angel, all right, questions if one is worthy to open the scroll. So there's a strong angel, doesn't say anything more than that, just a strong angel. He announces out loud, "Is anyone worthy to open the scroll? Anyone worthy?" Well, Here's the difficulty. No one is found who's worthy to open a scroll. There isn't anybody who can open a scroll. When I read this, I kind of think back to, like, you know, the King Arthur movies? When they've got Excalibur the sword is in the stone, and people are coming and trying to pull Excalibur out. You remember those from, like, the cartoon, the Disney movie, or whatever, and Arthur comes, and he's the only one worthy. Okay, so I kind of get this. Like, here's the scroll. No one's found to be worthy. Now, John wept because there was no one to open the scroll. Now, okay, let's stop for a moment. Anybody find that to be weird? Okay, Tammy, thank you for being honest, Tammy. Tammy does. Why would that be weird? I mean, here's a scroll. Who can open it? Nobody. John's crying. What do you think's going on? Okay, did you hear what Bruce said? Bruce said, maybe John has an idea of what's in the scroll, and because no one's there to open it, it's not going to come to pass, and he's brokenhearted about it. Yeah. I mean, I agree with Bruce. I think that's a good possibility. So remember what I told you the scroll is. The scroll is what? The judgments that are coming, right? I think John knows that. And when no one is found to open the scroll to bring the judgment, he weeps. So why do you think he's crying? What do you think he wants? Okay, all right, that's good, Tim. Now you said because he wants it to be finished, you think that's part of his motivation. Do you think there's other motivation? Well, he may only know there's one. Okay, that's good, Tom. But I want you to think, why else do you think? It's more than just that it's going to be finished. He wants justice. Now, do you understand what he's saying there? Okay, let me ask you a question. Anybody ever hurt you? We're human beings, George. What do you think? Seriously. Come on. Yeah, have you ever had somebody really hurt you? What do you want? What is your natural reaction when somebody hurts you? Vengeance. Natural reaction is vengeance. What else? I heard some other things said. Okay, reconciliation, but not necessarily all the time. So for instance, if somebody murdered a loved one of yours, you want reconciliation? Do you see what I'm saying? My point is, we want justice. Now, we're told to forgive, right, Gene? We're told to forgive. But when we forgive, we're placing it in whose hands? That he will one day what? Judge. Set it all. Yeah, he'll judge and he'll set it all right. That's right, Les. Okay, now, so listen to me. Here's John. At this point, he's 90-some years old. And all of the other disciples that he was with, where are they? Well, dead, but martyred. His brother, James, remember the Sons of Thunder? He was executed by King Herod by having his head removed from his body. Do you see what I'm saying? And so do you think he's witnessed persecution and evil done against the brethren in those 90 years of his life? Yes, right? He's witnessed what happened to his Savior, Jesus. Do you think he wants God to make things right? Now, let's ask a question. Do you think we want things to be made right? Yeah. But we're trusting in who to make it right. Okay, so here's John. Here's the scroll. Here's the scroll that, by opening it, brings about the justice. That's what John wants. And no one's worthy to be found to open it. So he weeps. I don't think he felt doubt. I think he probably felt disappointed. No, it's not a question of done and finishing it. Do you understand? If you have a proper perspective of your Christian life, it isn't what you accomplish in this life, Tim. You're only to be obedient to what God tells you to do. But then you're also to be forgiving and allow Him to bring justice in the end. And so that's what we look forward to. We look forward to Him setting things right, to Him making things right. Because the fact of the matter, let's be honest, you guys carrying stuff? What do you mean, George? I got my wallet in my back pocket. What are you talking about, carrying stuff? Seriously, are you still carrying the wounds from the past of where somebody has hurt you, or somebody did you wrong, or somebody made accusations against you, or blah? I mean, we can go on and on and on here, right? Are you? I mean, you're like, it happened 30 years ago. Are you still carrying those wounds? Yes. Listen, so I want you to understand. And you're the only one carrying them. And you're hoping that one day when you go to be with the Lord, because He told you He's going to set all things right, right? He's going to wipe away every tear. That He'll do that, right? That's part of our longing for the future, right? Is to be rid of here with everything that's hurting us and to go. And so here it is. He's got the scroll. Nobody's worthy to open it. He doesn't know who can open it. And he's weeping. Because what he longs for is justice. What he longs for is things to be made right. And it appears to him at this point, it appears to him at this point that isn't going to take place. That isn't going to take place. So I want you to notice, so he weeps, and so here's what happens. The elder encourages John that Jesus is worthy to open the scroll. Now he says two names here, the Lion of the tribe of Judah and the Root of David. Those are all messianic titles. Who is he referring to here? Jesus, not Joe Schmo. Jesus, he's the only one worthy. So then when you get to verses 6 and 7, he sees, because as he looks to the throne, he sees something or someone. All right, so here's what I want you to notice. Out of the midst of the throne comes the Lamb. Now you notice that's how they refer to Jesus here, the Lamb. Now, isn't that interesting? Where do we first get the concept of the Lamb? Gospel of John, behold the Lamb of God is what John the Baptist said, right? And so here's what I want you to notice. Here's how he's described. Verse 6, John sees a lamb that appears to have been slain or sacrificed. The word slain there could also mean sacrificed. Jesus was sacrificed, right? He was slain. All right, here's the other one. He has seven horns. Seven horn represents the authority and the strength of a ruler. A horn in the ancient Jewish culture was a representative of authority, of power. He also has seven eyes. Seven eyes reflect the unity between the Holy Spirit, because it said the seven spirits of God in the passage, and the Son. So there's unity between the Holy Spirit and the Son. Now here's what I want you to see. The Lamb is the only one who is worthy to take the scroll. So the Lamb is the only one who's worthy to take the scroll. And so then what we're going to see now is, of course, the worship and then the Lamb taking the throne. Now some of you might say, well, wait a minute. Now didn't Jesus say he doesn't know when it's going to happen? Didn't he say that? All right. Did we read anything here where it says he knew when this was going to take place? Who's the one holding out the scroll? God the Father. Then the question is, who's worthy to take it and open it, right? And the Lamb's the only one. So at that point, we see the what? The Lamb. Now, we're going to notice the worship of the Lamb here. When the Lamb takes the scroll, he is worshiped by the elders and creatures. The four living creatures are the four guardian angels around the throne of God. So he's worshiped by these folks. He is worshiped with a song praising his redemptive work, because all of this is because who died on the cross for us, folks? Jesus. He's the one who's worthy. The Lamb is worshiped by the entire angelic host. And how do you number that? Myriad and myriads. What? How much is a myriad? A lot. And then thousands upon thousands. Okay, so a lot. And yeah, so they proclaim that the Lamb is worthy of praise, glory, honor, and power. So they proclaim he is the one who's worthy. All of creation joins in bringing glory to the Lamb. So everything created under the sea, whatever, everything. Now, creation proclaims honor and praise on God the Father and the Lamb. And the creatures give one final praise with amen. So, okay, folks, who's the one who starts the tribulation? God the Father and Jesus. Now, why is that important for us to understand and know? What do you think? Why would that be so important that you and I understand that point? He's in control. It's not the Antichrist, right? No. No. You say, well, are you sure, George? Well, you know, Martin Luther used to say this about Satan, that Satan was God's Satan. Meaning, Satan can't do anything unless who allow him? God. So ultimately, the one who's in control is the all-knowing one who allows, through his providence, people to do what they're doing. Because everything's moving to what point, folks? To Jesus coming back, right? And so there has to be this 70th week that has to take place. So who's the one in control? God, and then Jesus. Now, why is that so important? So how was your perfect week this week? Everybody have a perfect week? You guys have a perfect week? What got you through your perfect week this week? Oh, prayer. Prayer to who? Why do we pray to God when we have our weeks that are, quote, not perfect? Did you understand? Why do we pray? Because he's in control. See, what this is all is showing us, even right before the beginning of the most terrible things that are going to take place in the world, and we're going to start seeing those next week. Even before any of this happens, there's somebody who's in control. And you can go to him and trust in him because you belong to who? Yeah, you're a child of God. You belong to Jesus, as Bruce says. You belong to him. Do you understand? And not just that you belong to him, who lives within you? The Holy Spirit. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the what? The world, right? Why do we forget those things? And then when we get freaked out, but listen, don't we get freaked out? What do you mean we get freaked out? Well, we just went through a pandemic time. We didn't know what that meant, so people got freaked out. We just had, man, did you see what happened in Asia this week, in Tibet, and Nepal, and so forth? And we're like, where did that come from? Thousands of people missing still. Wow. But this is only the birth pangs, right? Only the birth pangs. And you're like, oh, my goodness. Do you see what I'm saying? You know? Do you see what I'm saying? And so you got to rest in somebody who's in control, and that is who, folks? God and Jesus. Do you understand? And so as we begin to talk about, and remember, last week we looked at it from Matthew 24, Jesus said that those days will be shortened. There are only so many days because nobody can survive what's coming. And for the sake of the elect, that is those who are going to be saved during that time period, the days were shortened to 7 years. Isn't that interesting? Oh, by the way, that gives you a little bit of understanding of the Lord's timing. He refers to 7 years as short. You guys think 7 years short? No. Yeah. Yeah. The older you get, it's flying by quicker though, right? Now, then we come to chapter 6. Verse 1, it says this. Now I watched when the Lamb opened one of the seven seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures say with a voice like thunder, come. All right, so here's what I want you to see. The Lamb is the only one to open the seals. He's the only one to execute the judgments. The Lamb is the only one. And when he does, the judgments begin. And we're going to start looking at the judgments next week. It's going to take us, there's three series of judgments. Three series of seven judgments. And what we're going to see is they're going to be pretty devastating. But we just can't blow through them. We've got to understand them and understand what's coming, and plus also take some time to discuss some things. So we're going to see that next week. We're actually going to begin with the first four are what are known as the four riders of the apocalypse, the four horsemen, as they're called. And we're going to see that starting next week. So he's the one who's in control.